entrepreneurship is not always everything it's cracked up to be at moments.
That's real, right? You cannot tie yourself into a burden of unrealistic expectations created in a 30-second TikTok, right? You have to focus in on you. So what does success look like for you? People ask me, what does success look like for you, Kenny? I say, for me, it's that I die empty.
We deal with people all the time in mortgage who make very little money according to, you know, the regular standards. And I see people who make a ton of money. And you think, oh, the people who make a ton of money, like they're the more responsible ones. No, not necessarily.
Nope.
Sometimes their credit is 10 times worse than the person who makes practically no money. Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Financial Mastery Simplified. I am your host, Jacqueline or Jax Kreider. And today we have got Mr. Kenny with us, and he is, man, he's got all kinds of things that he does besides just the real estate industry. He helps people and entrepreneurs, and I'm going to let him speak a little bit to that. So welcome, Kenny. Tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and why you're excited to be on the podcast today.
Jax, I appreciate it. You know you made it if you made it to Financial Mastery, right? You know you have made it if you make it to this podcast. Well, as Jax mentioned, I'm Kenny Donnell. I have the distinct pleasure of being a co-owner in a real estate brokerage in the DFW area. I'd like to say I'm a serial entrepreneur, right? I take the skills and things I learned in the corporate space. I've had the pleasure of working with several Fortune 500 companies, executive level leadership. And then I've turned around and I've built out 4 different businesses. I'm actually working on the 5th right now as we're speaking.
Nice.
As Jax mentioned, where I get to work with individuals who are looking to make that jump from corporate America into entrepreneurship and sort of guide them through that and help direct them through some of the pitfalls and the challenges. And I also work with some current entrepreneurs who are in that space and they're trying to figure out how to scale and how to grow. So I'm excited to be here, Jax. I'm excited to help your listeners become more financially aware.
Yeah, for sure. Well, first of all, I mean, I think everybody believes, like, you know, it's always the first of all, the old adage, like, do we stay the employee? Do we go off on our own, right? And if you read that book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, you kind of realize, like, if you really want to create real substantial wealth, you really do eventually need to be in that quadrant of like owning your own business and becoming the investor, right? And it's not that you can't do it as the employee. It's just a lot harder, right? It takes a lot more time and things like that. But as we were discussing before the show, entrepreneurship is not always everything it's cracked up to be at moments.
That's real, right? That shift, I tell people, because I get a lot of questions about balance, right? Balance. And that shift to be able to have the fortitude to realize, just in my opinion, there's no such thing as balance, right? I like to say it's counterbalance, right?
Sure.
So I have three girls and they're all different ages and they all need different things. The oldest one, 25, she doesn't need a lot of the hand-holding and attention and direction that the 14-year-old needs, right? And the 15-year-old who's learning how to drive needs a lot of attention and focus.
Absolutely.
Right? So I'm constantly balancing or counterbalancing my time and efforts with our children. Well, it's the same thing with business. It's the same thing where if you're working a full-time role and you want to shift into another full-time role that you are the boss of, there's going to be some counterbalance that's going to have to give and take for you to get these things off the ground. And it's not always easy. And a lot of people don't give themselves enough credit and enough grace to be able to move those balances. They think it's always 50-50 and it's not.
No. Well, and I mean, you also have to be really careful because another podcast that I'm a part of, we talk a lot about like just business and in general. And one of the things we talk about is like, what you don't want to have happen too is that you give up your 9-to-5 for a 24/7 role either, right? Because not yes. only will you burn yourself out in a hot hurry, but also did you really do anything of substance that like, you know what I mean? Because most of the time, if yes. you're jumping ship from a corporate kind of job or a regular 9-to-5 employee type job, you're doing it because you want to have a little bit more freedom in your life. You want to have the ability not only to make more money, but to bet on yourself and things like that, but you also don't want to be having to work, you know, 24/7, 365 days a year, like where you don't have any, to your point, balance in your life. And yes, I don't think that there's true balance, like everyone plays it out to be, but you can't burn yourself out either, where it's a 365 day working bonanza either.
No, because most people think busy means productive, right? So somewhere in our minds, we got trapped into this. Well, if I'm constantly busy, I'm constantly doing something, then at the end of the day, if I worked 60 hours or 70 hours in a week or 8 hours, I was productive.
Correct.
And what I have them do is a little exercise. Go ahead and put a T graph on a piece of paper and write down everything you did that was business related on one side and pseudo business related on the other side. And what people start to realize is you did a lot of busy work, but you actually wasn't that productive. And so you got to hone in on the productive things that are needed.
For sure.
And that will cut out a lot of that fluff time where we just kind of make ourselves feel good because we're like, oh, I worked a lot of hours today. Yeah, but you're worn out and you actually didn't move that ball anywhere closer to where it needs to be so you could be productive.
But I think a lot of times, in my opinion, that comes from if you are coming out of a corporate environment where you are used to working a 9-to-5, you're used to filling your time with a lot of busy work, right? Like if you actually you look at studies, they say that on average, people per week, they only actually do real work. I think it's like 6 hours or something, or maybe it's 10 max. I mean, so think about the percentage. And so that tells you how much busy work is sort of layered on top of that. And so as a business owner, you don't need to be doing that busy work just to make yourself feel better about the fact that you're doing something, right? Like that's not the goal here. The goal was freedom, and freedom is going to come from using your time in a very more smart and apt time frame. And I'll use myself as the example. A lot of podcast listeners know this. I had a crazy, horrible, and I'll tell you offline, Kenny, about it, real estate situation that happened that hasn't quite found itself to fruition yet. We're getting closer, thank goodness. But it forced me into the situation where now I had a lot less time than I've ever had in my whole entire life. And guess what? You think you're efficient with your time until you don't have any. And then you realize you're not so efficient with your time. And in a weird way, it's forced me to learn how to use my hours a lot smarter and to cut out some of the busy work and the things that maybe are not my highest and best use and things of that sort. But a lot of times, because we have the time, because we just, you know, it's sitting there, we think to ourselves, it's not that big of a deal. Like, I don't really need to be that efficient with my time. It's okay.
That's right. Because a lot of times when you move into that entrepreneur space, you really start to think that this is your time, right? You start to think that I have all this time. Where when you work for somebody, you knew that wasn't your time. That was the company's time, right? So that mental mindset shift that says, all right, there's 8 hours today, and I may be the owner of the company, but I work for the company. And so I need to give it the time that is required, and then identifying those high priority things that you need to do. And this is what a lot of people never had to do unless you were in a management leadership role, was then delegate those other tasks so that you have the freedom to do what is required for your highest and best time step, right? That is easier said than done, but it is absolutely necessary if you're going to move from I work for some place where I'm now building my own empire.
Right. Well, and not only that, but I mean, from a monetary standpoint, right? Like, first of all, you will absolutely burn yourself out if you're not starting to try to pick and choose. Because when you start as an entrepreneur, a lot of times you don't have a significant amount of money, right? I mean, unless you went out and got a loan or something like that, right? Some people will start their entrepreneurial journey maybe while they are still working like the corporate job, and they're kind of sort of citing it as a side hustle to sort of grow it into its own entity. And a lot of people don't realize that, like you and I were talking before the show, like, You have to be the marketer, you have to be the HR, you have to be, you know, all the different things. And the beautiful part about being in 2025 is that there is a lot of technology that can actually very inexpensively take some of these things off of your plate, right? I joke all the time, even though I am an English creative writing major, so I'm actually very good at writing, brevity is not my strong suit. I know, Kenny, that really surprises you that brevity is not my strong suit. But when you're writing content, a lot of times, like, we need that kind of hook or that brevity to write, like, to capture attention. I'm not naturally good at this. And let's be real, you know, when you're a small business owner, you can't always afford to hire the copywriter or the person to create these things for you. And so I'm amazing at what I do for a living, right? I'm great at it. I'm an expert at it. However, in order to get the eyeballs, that marketing aspect that I need, I need some of that ability to be brief and brilliant and hookish. And I'm I'm not naturally good at that. It's not my natural bent. And so AI is coming in clutch, helping me write the hooks for my business that I'm not great at.
Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsors.
Imagine having the power to control your financial destiny, no matter where you start. Welcome to the Financial Mastery Simplified course and resource platform, where financial education is tailored to your unique journey. We cover everything you need, from basic budgeting and saving strategies to advanced investing and retirement planning. Learn at your own pace with lessons that match your level of experience. Whether you're a beginner or looking to enhance your financial knowledge, join our community of learners and benefit from shared insights and expert guidance. The Financial Mastery Simplified Course and Resource Platform equips you with the skills and confidence to take charge of your financial future. Ready to master your finances? Enroll in our courses today at the Financial Mastery Simplified Course and Resource Platform. Start your path to financial independence now.
Visit us at fms.tips and fms.college for more information.
Hello, and welcome to PBJ Mortgage, where your home ownership dreams become reality. Today, we want to share why choosing PBJ Mortgage is the right choice for your home financing needs. At PBJ Mortgage, we're built on a foundation of values that drive us every day. Our commitment to educate, empathize, and empower our clients sets us apart in the mortgage industry. Our clients are at the heart of everything we do, and their success stories speak volumes. With years of experience, our team possesses in-depth knowledge of the mortgage programs, ensuring you receive expert guidance and the best possible rates. We offer a diverse range of loan options to suit your unique needs, including conventional, FHA, VA, and more. No matter your situation, we've got a solution. At PBJ Mortgage, we pride ourselves on providing personalized service. Our dedicated loan officers are here to guide you every step of the way, making the process as smooth as making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. We understand that time is of the essence, which is why we've streamlined our processes for efficiency and convenience. Transparency and clear communication are paramount. You'll always know where you stand throughout your mortgage journey. Reach out to us today to set up a call to discover your options. If you're ready to make your home ownership dreams a reality, contact PBJ Mortgage today. Let us empower you during this exciting journey. Phone number 4-693-733-107, www.pbjteam.com. Visit our website or give us a call to get started. We look forward to helping you secure your future home. PBJ Mortgage, where home begins.
Thanks for your patience.
That AI platform, if people are not learning, even if it's just the baseline of how to put in specific needs and direction to get back a return. If AI was existent in any one of the other companies I started many moons ago, the money I would have saved in scaling and hiring people and content writers and all this stuff and ads, right now is an incredible time to be an entrepreneur.
Absolutely.
That is starting up with a limited budget, but you have limited time as well, and you're trying to stretch.
Yep.
Utilizing the AI technology effectively. I got turned on to a site yesterday, Jax, that was a lead magnet creation website. AI tool. Huh?
Is it Page Will?
No, it's something that I'd have to give you that. I mean, the first time I saw it was yesterday. And I typed in a prompt and I said, this is the lead magnet I want. I want you to create the web page. 20 seconds later, it was a dynamic web page that had functionality. It was beautiful. And I was like, are you kidding me?
I know.
The time and money I would have saved. And I'm a Fiverr guy. So I'd go out to Fiverr and I'd hire directly instead of hiring an ad agency and all that. I'd hire the people directly.
Sure.
Fiverr might be in trouble.
Well, I just think that I actually, so I'm finishing a book right now and I joke that I co-wrote it with AI because all my ideas and whatever, but AI was helping me organize it and shape it. So I was basically funneling AI exactly what I was wanting to say and whatever, and it was kind of shaping it up. And people just don't even understand. I mean, it literally, the book is called Ask the Question because it's about intellectual curiosity. And I am convinced that with entrepreneurship specifically, this is either going to make you so lazy where you're just not going to think anymore and those people eventually are going to kind of fall out, or it's going to take your creativity and what you're capable of and explode it in a way that you can't even imagine, right? Because for me, I'm ADHD. And so, and a lot of entrepreneurs, let's be real, they're ADHD. Why? Because, you know, it's hard for us sometimes to focus on exactly what a, like the head business person wants us to do and follow it in exact specific manner. And so my brain is always ping ponging all over the place. And I have a lot of great vision, but of course, honing in those little tiny details can be a challenge for me.
And right. Absolutely.
AI fills in that gap for me. And guess what? It's a $20 a month assistant that helps keep me in line that I would probably have to pay a whole hell of a lot more money for, which is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Let's be real.
It is. It is. And you had mentioned something a minute ago when we were talking about having to play all the roles and when you jump into entrepreneurship and the finances to be able to do these things, right? One thing that I coach people on is if you can, if possible, save at least a year's worth of expenses. Already have it saved where when you launch into this entrepreneur journey, you're not what I call sales thirsty, right? You have to get a sale immediately. Yep. Because then you start stressing, you start stretching, you start compromising things that you normally would not do if you were not money dependent, right? So if you can at least have that 12 months of expenses where you don't have to worry about light bill because TXU around, they still want their money, right? The mortgage, the company still, they still want their, they do not care. Well, I just started a business, right? I just beginning. Yeah, that water bill is still due, right? So the car note is still due. So you have to be able to give yourself the stress freedom where the need to make money immediately is not present. Then you have the freedom to move forward. But yeah, not a lot of people have the patience. I've been in jobs where I was just ready to get out. Like I was done. The grace was over. I have no more. I could not do it anymore. And I was ready to jump. The one thing that always held me is those bills.
Yeah.
You jump into what? So my thing is always save up 12 months, 18 if you can, more if you can, so that you can actually devote the time and effort to growing your business without the stress of the financial burden.
Oh, no. Well, and I mean that I talk a lot on the podcast about being intentional, because the truth of the matter is that a lot of people believe that because I'm in mortgage, that what I care about most is just getting that transaction done, right? Because let's be real, just like real estate, I don't get paid if the loans don't close, right? So that is my objective. And the truth is it's not. I actually want you to financially succeed. I want you to be in a place where you feel good about it, right? And the only way that happens is if you are self-aware and you're intentional with where are you going? What is it that you want or whatever? Because I can't tell you that. I have no idea if you want to live comfortably in a 1,000-square-foot house or a 50,000-square-foot house, right? I mean, you and I both know we're happy to help with whatever that looks like on that side. Or we've even had clients where as they started going through the process, they kind of realized homeownership wasn't necessarily for them, right? I'll never forget, and I tell this story a lot. She actually was a guest on my podcast. She's probably going to come back on as a guest. When she and I had a very first meeting, so she's a financial coach. And so one of the things that she does is kind of help people figure out where they maybe should be investing their money and some things like this, et cetera, right? And we had this conversation because we got introduced, and she realized that I'm a pretty direct, pretty blunt person. And so she's like, what exactly are you planning on getting out of this meeting? And I was like, okay. And I was like, why do you ask that question? That was my next thing I asked her. And she said, well, I just don't know if we're really very aligned. I said, okay, that's fair. Why do you say that? And she's like, well, you believe that everybody should own a house. And I said, no, you're wrong. I don't actually believe that.
Right.
I think it's the largest wealth differentiator there is as far as like, for most people, it is going to be like the one big thing that really does sort of start setting their wealth on fire. However, that doesn't necessarily have to be the case for every single person. And I said, why do you ask me that question? She said, well, I never want to own a home. I said, okay, great. That's no big deal. Why is that? Why do you feel that way? And so she had some very specific reasons. I said, great. Do you have a plan to be able to set yourself up for success in the end of your life, right? For retirement and stuff like that. She's like, yes. And she kind of laid out for me the way that she was investing money and how she was handling all that. I said, awesome. So you're living intentionally. It's not a problem.
Yes.
Right. You have your goals in place. And that's why I started Financial Mastery Simplified. It doesn't have to look the same way. Your version of success doesn't have to look like my version of success. But I agree with you. When you start that business, if you're not being intentional about how we're going into it and you're just kind of going through the motions, eventually what's going to happen is you are going to get tight on money. And anytime when you get tight on money, that scarcity, even if you fought against it and even if you've done the mindset work and the mindset shifts, it's still naturally, we have a negative bias in our brains. It's going to bubble up inside you and you're going to start cutting corners or you're going to start giving that the aspect of desperation, like all that's going to start bubbling. Not a good look.
No. And then you open yourself up to all of the scams, right? You open yourself up to the shortcuts. And you're like, okay, well, this person is going to do this and it's going to get me there way faster than I ever thought it was going to get there. And all I got to do is give up $15,000 or $20,000. And you're buying into this move because you're focusing in on the scarcity. That yep. pressure is there and you're doing everything you can to relieve the pressure. So having that strategy up front, having a plan up front, and then being willing to sacrifice for it.
Right.
So you give an example of the people, you know, they come in, they want this house. I can't tell you how many times we deal with people and they're like, I want this 5,000 square feet and I want this and I want that. And like, yeah, but your budget right now is 250. So what are you willing to sacrifice in the short term to then put yourself in a position, a better position to ultimately get that thing you want?
Absolutely.
And a lot of people don't want to do it. A lot of people are like, nope, I just want what I want now. Well, if you're going to build something, it's going to take time and sacrifice, and they're going to be something. I would love to fly around on a private jet. I would love to fly around on a private jet. Absolutely, 100%. That's just amazing. No lines. I don't have to book. I just got to call the pilot, and he's there when I want him there. But I don't want to pay $100,000 a flight.
Right.
I don't want to have $1 million of expenses every year in flights.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not willing to sacrifice that. So commercial, here I come, right? So
I was going to say, I say that a lot too, is choose your hard, right? Like there's all different versions of like what that looks like. And the beautiful part is that, you know, maybe even 30, 50 years ago, we had a lot more rigid, you know, that's not even really a word, but a lot more rigid restrictions on sort of how life was to look, right? Like we went to work for somebody and we did that for 40, 50 years. And then we retired and we bought a house and you know what I mean? Like there was like a lot of like set ways that were kind of the standard, if you will. But this is 2025 and people are living lives that look totally different. And my life doesn't have to look like my brother's life, doesn't have to look like your life, doesn't have to look like whatever, right? We're a part of a very global economy. We have more technology and information at our fingertips than we've ever had before. So I tell people all the time, you have literally zero excuse to not get exactly what you want out of life. Because the truth is you have more access to information and free information or very inexpensive information than you've ever had before, right? You can set up your goals. And so now this is where, and even to your point where you're trying to figure out, you know, making sure you have that money, you've got to take a step back and start asking yourself hard questions about, okay, what's going to make sure that I'm comfortable? I agree with you. 12 months is amazing. If you can do more, that's awesome. But only you know where that breaking point is. When you get what number in your account, what number is it hit when you start having heart palpitations, right? And you're like, oh, dear Lord, I can't do it anymore. I mean, I can't answer that question for you and neither can Kenny. But when you're kind of going down these paths with anything that you do in life, even if it's not starting your own business, you have to live with intention to know like what you're comfortable with so that you can make good decisions to ensure that you're doing the right thing by yourself, by your family, and not putting yourself into a compromising position.
That's true, right? When you talk about decision, you talk about direction. The other thing that I hear that brings out of that is courage, right? You absolutely be intentional. You have to have decision. What am I going to do? How am I going to do it? Then you have to have the courage to walk in the direction to achieve it. And if you are, like Jack said, if you are trying to live up to the Joneses, if you will, if you're measuring yourself against somebody else's success, or like we love to do in today's world, you see it on TikTok And so I got this 30-second window into your life, and I assume that I know your struggle,
yep,
right? And I know your sacrifices, and I know your challenges, and why is it happening for me? Because you're not them, and you don't know. You don't know the challenges, the sacrifice, the struggles, the disappointment. And yeah, their overnight success that took 20 years to succeed, right? You just met them. So you cannot tie yourself into a burden of unrealistic expectations created in a 30-second TikTok, right? You have to focus in on you. So what does success look like for you? People ask me, what does success look like for you, Kenny? I say, for me, it's that I die empty. It's that everything that I have in me that I believe I'm supposed to do, that I do. Whether it's helping 100 people, 1,000 people, 100,000 people, I'm going to have my journey. And you have to be okay if, so I have a church background. You have to be okay if only 10 people attend your church. Right. Yeah, you want 100,000, right? But you got to be okay if only 10 people show up, because those are the 10 people that you were supposed to help.
Right.
So help them do the things you want to do. You want to launch your business? Launch your business with a purpose of, I'm out to help these people. And however many of these people exist for me, that's who I'm going to help. And it may be somebody in that same space that is doing the same thing you do, and they may be helping way more people than you. That is okay, because that's their journey. That's their walk. That is their sacrifice.
Oh, yes.
Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsors.
Welcome to Financial Mastery Simplified, your go-to podcast for making smart money decisions. We break down complex financial topics into easy-to-understand advice you can use every day. Our experts cover everything from budgeting and saving to investing and retirement planning. We give you the tools to take control of your money and build the future you want. With Financial Mastery Simplified, you'll feel informed and empowered to make the best choices for your financial health. Tune in to Financial Mastery Simplified on your favorite podcast platform. Start your journey to financial confidence today.
Visit us at fms.tips and fms.college for more information.
Welcome to House U, where we believe in the power of education. At House U, we're more than just a brand. We're your partner in home ownership, dedicated to educating, equipping, and empowering you every step of the way. Education is at the heart of everything we do. We offer comprehensive resources designed to make home ownership simple and accessible for all. From understanding mortgage options to mastering home maintenance, House U provides the knowledge you need to make informed decisions with confidence. We host workshops and seminars, bringing together experts and community members to share insights and build a stronger, more informed community. Because when you're educated, you're empowered. House U, home ownership made simple for all. Visit our website or contact us today to start your journey with House U. Empower yourself with knowledge and embrace the joy of home ownership.
Thanks for your patience. Now back to our conversation.
I think that that's hard for people a lot of times. And it was so funny. I don't know if you listen at all to Myron Goldman. I think he's such an amazing person, not only just like the way he thinks and the way he talks, but he was talking about, I can't remember what he called it, instant success or something like that. But what he meant was he said, what does that look like over a lifetime? Because I think that is the thing, is that we always, you know, it's all these get rich quick schemes and whatever. And so often, you know, you don't know when you're going to hit that moment that's just going to just push over the top. Right. And sometimes you have to do a lot of things to get there. Right. And a lot of things that other people aren't necessarily going to see as valuable. I literally was having this conversation this last weekend. So I love to read, and I love to write. And last year I wrote my very first book, which you and I were discussing, Mortgage 101, The Secret Sauce to Home Buying. And now like in my body, I'm like, man, I need to write a lot more books, just because first of all, I love information. I love presenting it and helping people. And it is something that I'm really passionate about. And so I actually joined a few different anthologies that are going to be coming out over the course of this year. And for those of you who may not know what an anthology is, it's like a collaborative book where maybe, you know, 10, 20, 30 people come together. Everybody writes a chapter with an overarching theme. And, you know, you kind of launch the book together. And I was, my dad was asking me, well, why are you a part of all these anthologies? And I said, well, for a few reasons, right? Like, one, I want to be seen at as authority, you know, surrounding different kinds of topics. Number two, I genuinely want to help people. And I feel like sometimes seeing perspective and other people's stories do really help us shape our own space and our own journey. And I said, and there will be some residual income. May not be a whole lot. Maybe it's only a couple $100 a year or something, but there'll be some residual income, you know, coming. And I said, don't you think that's worth that? And my dad said, no. And so not everyone's necessarily going to see the way that it looks for you, right? Because for me, just simply the helping people and the authority piece for me personally would be enough of a reward, right? Do I hope that I also get some of the monetary piece as well? Sure, of course I do. But that may not necessarily happen, just depending on, you know, the popularity of the book and how long, you know, it's out for, all of the different things. But like Myron Golan was talking about how he makes his passive income off of some of his books and how, yeah, you know, it comes in every single year. It's a thing he did one time that now continually perpetuates an amount. And so sometimes when you're doing that thing, you may not necessarily see what it's going to yield in the long run. But you have to do it anyways. And even when other people really close to you, like my dad wasn't bad intention. It's not like he was trying to put me down. But on the same token, he couldn't see what I see.
No, no. And he's not supposed to.
Correct.
It's not right? A different path. It's a different path. I think we probably have all had some similar experience. I remember a very, very close family member of mine when I was launching into one of my industries and I was leaving a six-figure income. And I literally was having this conversation and I had a lot of it baked out, but I didn't know all the things. It was when I was doing the federal construction stuff. So I had one firm where we did renovation projects for VA hospitals, Air Force bases, Navy bases all around the US, but we started with zero. And my family member was like, why would you do that? That's crazy.
Right.
Why would you leave this steady income? Like, you got it good. Why would you do that? Had I listened to that advice, then 5 years later, we wouldn't have over $100 million worth of business.
Exactly.
Right. And that's not everybody's story. It didn't have to be $100 million. It could be a million. It could be 3 million. Or it could just be the freedom to lay out the schedule that you want. But you have to walk your path. And like you said, I knew it wasn't a shot at me. I knew it wasn't, oh, you don't believe in me. It was like, this is security for you.
That's correct.
This feels safe for you. But I've been on too many sides of the table where the company got bought out. The company decided that they no longer need this division, right? Or you're tapped out and you've hit that ceiling and you can't move because nobody's retiring.
Yep.
I've been in too many of those spots to realize that insecurity for me is being tied to a corporate label.
Correct.
That I can't make moves on.
Right. Well, I think
that's insecurity.
Some of the generation, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I think some of the generation that sort of came before, like that my father kind of believed and it was a part of, is companies were a lot more stable, right? And people did stay for like their whole careers or whatever, right? And the company sort of took care of the person and the person took care of the company. And unfortunately, with a lot of the changes to how we handle business, right? And that it's a lot less people focused and a lot more numbers focused and just, yes, you know, kind of raw data, this created a challenge. And so I tell everybody, I mean, I had this conversation with my parents last night. I was like, look, everything holds risk. Every single thing. Staying at that job, yep, it holds risk because you're putting your, yep, life in the hands of that company. And the company could go under, it could lay you off. I mean, it's so many different things, whatever, right? You go on your own, you start your own business, there's risk. There's risk that, mm-hmm, you're not gonna make the money that you wanna make. There's risk that you're gonna have so many more skill sets that you're gonna have to learn and maneuver and surround yourself with, and they aren't necessarily gonna be your wheelhouse. And how do you handle that? I mean, regardless of what it is. And so again, this comes back to choose your heart, because there are so many different aspects and avenues that you can walk down, but you just have to figure out the path that aligns with what fits you, right? And, yeah, and to your point, like we were talking about the money aspect of putting aside money, make sure you're intentional about it, because just kind of maneuvering your way, I mean, that's sort of why you get caught with your pants down, so to speak, right? Because you thought that job was going to be there forever, and then all of a sudden, boom, it's pulled from you,
boom,
right? Or, yep, you thought that, yep, job was going to, you know, your new business was just going to take off from day one and you didn't put any money in the bank at all and take a little longer than you thought.
A little low. Or I see this a lot, Jax. You finally got the client. You got the client. You're making some money to bank, and now you're going on vacations. Right now you're spending like you have arrived. Right. And the thing that I have learned is that's great to have some success out the gate. It's wonderful. And it's wonderful to see money coming to that bank. But you almost have to act like it's not there.
For sure.
You have to maintain your foot on that pedal and continue to push through, because it is easy. And I say this and understanding full well what I mean. It is easy to make money. But you said this earlier, Jax. If you give me the person who makes $1 million but has $1,000,001 in expenses, you're not in any better position than the person that makes $50,000 and has $51,000 in expenses.
Absolutely. Right?
You just have more expenses. You just have more vulnerability.
Correct.
But you're still both struggling, because if you can't manage those finances, no matter how much money you're making, to put yourself in a position to build, grow, and expand, and then diversify, it's a struggle all the way around, no matter if you're $1 million a year, 10 million a year, or 50,000 a year.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I was telling you that before the show, that we deal with people all the time in mortgage who make very little money according to, you know, the regular standards. And I see people who make a ton of money. And you think, oh, the people who make a ton of money, like they're the more responsible ones. No, nope, not necessarily.
Nope.
Sometimes their credit is 10 times worse than the person who makes practically no money. And you know what I mean? And sometimes the person who makes very little money has actually a lot more money in the bank, you know what I mean, than the person who makes a ton of money. And so they're not necessarily a direct correlation. I actually got in to more of like kind of the financial coaching and like doing the podcast and creating courses that kind of help with some of that, to kind of, because a lot of that is actually like surrounding limiting belief and some of like our financial and money trauma from like our past and things of that sort. And a lot of that is, it goes into why we make some of the decisions and do some of the things that we do. There's a lot of scarcity that's actually built into our DNA. And so people, yeah. It's so funny, if I make any video about it's not your fault, like the scarcity piece is not your fault, and they're like, it is their fault. And they're like, be responsible. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I didn't say they didn't have to be responsible in the present moment. I said that the reason that this exists is not their fault, right? The scarcity, like, it is actually built within you. I'm like, calm down, calm down.
I'm not letting them off the line. I know people like, oh my God, you got to hold them responsible. Like, okay, there is still responsibility to be had. Like, relax, people.
I'm like, okay, everybody, just take a deep breath. We're like, if you listen to anything I produce, I always joke that the answer is it depends and live right. With intention. Those are like the two things, like the whole premise for Financial Mastery Simplified is your life, your terms. Because the truth is, I mean, it doesn't necessarily negatively affect me if you want to be homeless and you don't have any money in your account or whatever, right? Like, it's not. Yeah. Affecting me personally. I just believe that everybody can live a life that they want to live with intention in the way that they want to live it, if they're willing to do the work, right? If they're willing to do the self-realization of understanding what this looks like. And when it comes to starting a business, that is what it starts with. And understand, and I can guarantee you, Kenny can attest to this too, neither one of us are perfect at this. I raise my hand all the time. I joke around. I have more information and more education surrounding money than probably most people will ever have in their lives. And I still buy 400 purple cups. Like, why do I do that? Right? I mean, the compulsion to buy purple cups, I don't know. But again, this is all about self-awareness, digging deep, trying to understand. And when it comes to financial mastery, these are the things and the steps that you need to take. Whether you're starting a business, whether you are somebody who doesn't have a business and you do just want to have the employee mindset, whatever. I mean, because there's other ways to become an investor while you're working, you know, for a company, if that's really what you feel like your highest and best use is, right?
That's real. So I wrote a book too, Jax, the employee, from employee to boss. And it's interesting. A lot of people will hear that title and they think entrepreneurship, and it is mainly dealing with entrepreneurship,
for sure.
But it's really more mindset,
right?
Right. Where you can be an employee, but if you have a boss mindset, you move differently within that corporation.
Oh, you do.
Right. You open up other opportunities within that corporation when they see you way further than just a position.
Correct.
So yeah, entrepreneurship is not for everybody. Somebody has to help build. Correct. Right? Somebody has to help structure the thing and make sure the organization continues to run. But being invaluable in the position you're in, I had one of the most amazing, I think, mentors and managers I've had in my life. And one thing that he told me that has always stuck with me has been, don't bring me problems, bring me solutions, right? Bring me the solution. Yeah, I recognize the problem. I probably see it before you see it, right? So don't bring me the problem. What is the solution? What have you thought about, spent time contemplating on, and focusing on how to get us past the problem? Right. That's when you make yourself invaluable in that role. That's when you begin to put yourself in a different position. Yeah, maybe everybody has a degree, right? Maybe you're up against somebody with similar experience, right? Maybe they even have better connections than you within the organization.
Right.
But if you can come and solve problems and issues and remove stress and challenges off of people's plates, that's somebody we want to keep around. That's somebody we want to promote. That's somebody we want to enhance.
It's funny that you say that, because as a manager, that's always what I would tell my people. I'm like, look, you can come with me with anything, right? Like, tell me the things that you think are going wrong. But if you're going to come and tell me something that's going wrong, I want to know what you believe you could do to fix it, or what the solution is to be able to do it. Because if you're just coming to me to tell me about problems all the time, pardon my French, but that's just bitching. Like, you're just coming to vent and just say your piece, whatever, like, that's not what this is about. So there's a problem and we need to fix it. Great. What are some suggestions? Because you may have some better ideas than what I have, being that you're boots on the ground. That's why a lot of times you're seeing the problem, right? And so I need to know, what do we feel like that we can do to correct this, right? And then understand that you're then giving me the opportunity to give you some perspective on maybe why some of the things you think or suggest can't necessarily happen in the way that you want to, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Working through that. So whether the goal is start your own thing or expand where you are, there's value in you owning your piece. So this goes back to what we've been talking about this whole time, Jax. Owning your position, owning your role, whether your role is CEO or your role is account manager, whatever it is.
Right.
Own your role and bring the best version that you can bring every single day. Show up, be productive, give all that you have to what you're to be doing. The Bible talks about put your hands to work in the best way possible, and you will yield fruit. You're going to be successful, but it's up to you. It's 100% up to you.
My mom always taught me that you should be a true expert at whatever you do. And if you're at a job right now, right, and maybe you don't have the desire to be an entrepreneur, right, I think that is a role that a lot of people do desire, because it does give them more time and more freedom. But if that's not your desire, if you don't feel like you have the passion or the ability to be the expert in your role, then you need to find another role within the same company or somewhere else. Because the truth is, you'll never reach true success, whether it be financial or otherwise, if you're not doing something that lights you up. I was telling Kenny before we started this that the whole premise for how I run Financial Mastery Simplified as a podcast is I actually let my guest pick what we're going to discuss. And why do I do that? I do that because if they're passionate about the subject, right? Because I'm very passionate about money, and I legitimately could talk to a wall about it for I don't even know how many days or years. So that's not the issue here, right? I want to make sure that we're discussing something because that's what's going to be helpful for them to be able to show their expertise, and helpful for the listener to be able to hear and glean really good information. And so if you're wanting financial success, you will never find it if you are not doing something that is going to light you up inside.
That is real, period. Jax, you could put that on a t-shirt.
There you go.
Because It is too many times that we're chasing the dollar.
Correct.
Right? We're chasing the thing that we think is going to bring us the most amount of money and using the least amount of time.
Correct.
And so I give people this analogy. The reason they call money currency is it does what a current does, which is flow, right? Current moves. As much as people think that money is sitting in the bank right now, just waiting on them, it is not. It is being utilized, right? It is constantly moving. Well, if you're chasing money, the current is flowing away from you. You're in the wrong position. You're behind it. If you're chasing money, you are racing and chasing a water that is flowing away from you.
Yep.
You have to position yourself, value position yourself in front of something. What are you attracting? What are you pulling to you? Whether that is the financial resources, whether that is the connections you need to make the move to the next role, whether that is the connections you need to make the move to the next entrepreneur venture, whatever that is, you have to attract it to you in order for it to be there. And nothing attracts if there's not a passion behind it.
Correct.
Because people can see through it. If you don't believe in it, if you're not passionate about it, not only can people see through it, but you're not going to stick with it.
No.
You're gonna be like my kids. Yeah, we did basketball, we did soccer, we did baseball, like we did all these sports, right? And we landed on yearbook and karate, right? So you're not gonna stick with what you don't have a passion for.
Nope, you sure won't. Mm-mm. No, and it's funny because and I talk about this a lot. I don't know how familiar you are with the RAS, the reticular activating system. It's the part of your brain that actually like scans for things. And so what happens is like what the reason that intention is so important is you're literally telling your brain what to look for. So I use this example not too long ago that I decided in 2024 that I wanted to be on more stages. And so one, I created my own stage by the podcast, right? I started being guests on other people's podcasts. I started being sought out to speak at different kinds of events, right? Whether they be for realtors or for people who want to understand about money or whatever. Why is that? Is it because I was less qualified? You know, I was more qualified now than I was a couple of years from now. I mean, maybe I'm slightly more qualified, right? Because I have a little bit more information, but that's not the reason. The reason is because I was activating my RAS and my RAS was literally looking for the opportunity, right? It was searching like this. You literally have to just train your brain with that intention. And it's really hard to do if you're just not interested in whatever it is, like getting your brain to latch on. I mean, I suppose you can do it. But you're right. Money is currency. Currency does flow. I saw a funny meme the other day that said the universe is not on a budget. Ask for what you want, because it's true. Like literally money is an endless supply. So when people say, oh, there's not enough money, I'm like, that's not true. The federal government literally can just go keep printing more of it.
Yep.
It's a ridiculous idea.
And they do. And they do.
Well, this has been amazing. So, yeah. I feel like we could talk about this topic for days, Kenny. So you'll definitely have to come back and join me again, and we can do more conversations surrounding this topic and others. I think that there's something that you wanted to offer the listeners. So if you don't mind
Absolutely.
Offering that, and then we will wrap us up.
Yep. So I talked about the book, From Employee to Boss. And so for all of Jack's listeners, if you will email me info@kennydonnell.com, info@kennydonnell.com. I know it's a long last name, but kennydonnell.com. I will send you guys a free copy of the book, From Employee to Boss. Jax, I appreciate you having me on. I appreciate this conversation. It has been amazing. You are just a warm, wonderful person with a mission that is going to be extremely successful and global as you continue to expand your outreach. So thank you for having me on. I could at least be in the Rolodex of people and say, hey, y'all, I was on this doggone podcast, Financial Mastery, and Jax is amazing. Thank you all. I appreciate it.
I was going to say, I so appreciate that. And hopefully, listeners, you found this information helpful, whether you are an employee or whether you're starting a business. Again, it's super important to just live life with intention. And we hope to see you again next week on another episode of Financial Mastery Simplified.